Hey there, and welcome to Bustin' Out of Breast Cancer, the show that has us straight talking about surviving and thriving breast cancer using the smile method. I'm Shannon Burrows, your host for the show. I'm a breast cancer thriver and recovery coach and business strategist, empowering other women to smile in the face of adversity, including breast cancer, to disengage from their limiting beliefs and start living their lifestyle by design to become the best version of themselves. While navigating my own breast cancer journey, I found my purpose at the intersection of passion and pain. I became the person I couldn't find and now specialize in cancer exercise to help you navigate your own journey. On this show, we share survivor stories and talk about thriving in life, not just surviving. Welcome back to the show. This week's episode, we have Tracy Stewart, the boobless thrifter. She's going to share her story and talk about going flat fashions. Welcome, Tracy. Thank you so much for being here. I cannot wait for listeners to hear your story and all about the boobless thrifter. I love that name. So cute. So thank you for being here.
Hi, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
Wow. So Tracy, you are known as the boobless thrifter. You are also a breast cancer thriver, which I love. So, you know, we all have our own journeys, our own diagnosis, our own history, how we navigate our journey and all that good stuff. So let's have the listeners hear your story.
Well, I'm 50 years old, but I was diagnosed in 2007. I was 36 at the time. And, like anybody, I wasn't really prepared for my diagnosis. I ended up, my doctor actually, when I found the lump in my breast, my doctor said to me, oh, well, you just have fibrocystic breasts, you're fine. And I ended up going to a women's walk-in center in the city that I lived in just to get a second opinion. And the second opinion was that I had a 2B ER positive breast cancer, and I had nodal involvement, and my tumor was 5 centimeters. So
it's so crazy to me that your own physician just kind of brushed you off as if, you know, like it was nothing, like, no, let's get a CAT scan or a mammogram or anything like that. That is so insane. For those of you listening, Tracy is in Canada. She's in Vancouver. So I know we all have our own medical situations, whether in the US or Europe or Canada or whatever, but nonetheless, like, I don't care if you feel like you have found yourself a lump, like, it should be checked, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, he actually said to me, you're too young to have breast cancer, which, you know, like, in the work that I do, I meet women that are, you know, in their 20s that have breast cancer.
Yep.
So it's not, there is no such thing as too young.
There's no age.
No.
Cancer does not discriminate, as we know.
Yeah. And the oncologist, you know, when I met with the oncologist, he said, the younger you are, the scarier it is typically, because, you know, you're, especially if you're active and your cells are doing their thing, you know, he said, when somebody's 80, it's not as, we don't get them into treatment as fast usually, because your cancer typically doesn't move as fast the older you get. I don't know if that's, you know, maybe I was sort of in cancer brain when he told me that.
But, cancer brain.
Yeah, cancer brain. But, you know, so I was in surgery within 3 weeks after I was diagnosed, and I had surgery on Christmas of 2007. So it was right close to Christmas. And then in February, I started my chemotherapy on Valentine's Day, which makes Valentine's Day very strange for me.
Still. It's a Hallmark holiday anyway. Yeah, don't worry about holiday. It.
Exactly. So I had 4 months of chemotherapy. And then in August of 2008, I had 28 days of radiation, which I finished on my mom's birthday. So
way to keep all the holidays together. Yep.
Yeah. All the holidays are covered. So, and then I sort of took a, well, I took a break. They had me take a break because I was going to have implants put in. And so I needed to kind of have some time to recover after my radiation. And I was never really offered a lot of options. Well, I wasn't offered an option of not having reconstruction or going flat when I was scheduled for surgery. So implants were sort of the only thing that I could do just because of my body type. And so they had said to me, you know, the implant on the right side where you had radiation might feel tight. You might have some issues with capsular contracture with the implants, but I again, cancer brain, I was like, well, no, we're just going to go ahead with it because that's what you do. Right.
I'm supposed to have boobs. I'm a female.
Exactly.
That's crazy that to me that like they didn't even give you options.
It's funny. Like in the work I do, again, I meet women that this is common, you know, where either the flat isn't offered to you or it's sort of mentioned in passing. And for me, it was kind of mentioned in passing. Oh, well, you could do nothing was kind of the line that I got. And so, you know, I had a bit of, I think, PTSD just from treatment. And I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to go through with this. So I had expanders put in, and then, and again, I remember I had my expanders and I was a bridesmaid at my friend's wedding.
Oh, geez.
So I had really, cause they overinflate you, and I had really big, I mean, for me, right? So right. I had to get this bridesmaid's dress all altered, and oh, it's just.
And it's not even like even when you have the implants, but like with expanders, it's not like you can like, you know, when you have just regular boobs, you can kind of, you know, move and manipulate your breasts to kind of like give yourself cleavage or like make them fit. No, not when you have these suckers. It's like hard as rocks. And it's like, oh, this is what we got.
No. And I was like really lifted up, you know?
Very perky.
Yeah. Very perky. And I had to fly to the wedding. And so, you know, I set off the metal detector with the valve and.
Oh no, really? Yeah, I never even thought about that.
Yeah. So I had a little card that said, I have a medical device. So yeah, you know, they're scanning me and
pardon me while I take my expanders on the plane with me.
Yeah, exactly. So the comedy. So that was, I had my implants, I guess in, I don't know, it was the summer of 2009. Like time kind of, I don't know, compresses, expands, pardon the pun. But so 2009, I had my expanders, and then I got the implants. And so fast forward 5 years later, my implants, I was really active. I played a contact sport. I used to play roller derby. And I couldn't have these implants. Like it wasn't working for me. I didn't have any contracture. I didn't really have any problems with them other than the fact that they were just super uncomfortable. And I went to my doctor and my plastic surgeon, and I just said, I need them out. It's so irritating. It's like, I have a piece of glass in my eye. I just can't. So I had them out again, Christmas of 2014. And then I was sort of like, the whole time that I was kind of going through all of this, I didn't really want to be known as the cancer kid. You know, I wasn't shy about telling people. I wasn't shy about talking about it. I was really out there with everything, but I didn't really want it to define my life. And so I kept working. I kept playing my sport. I just kept doing everything that was normal for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, I think I finally, in the last 2 years, I mean, it's been 14, what's my math? It's 14 years?
Yeah.
15 years since I've been diagnosed. And I think finally, in the last couple of years, I recovered from it in a way. Like I moved past it. And so I thought, there's a way that I can give back to other people that are going through this in a way that makes sense for me. And so I was always involved in the arts. I actually have a fine art degree. I was an entertainment publicist, so I worked in film and television. And I've always had an artistic practice, and I am a voracious thrifter. I love clothes. Although this morning, maybe not so fashionable, but I love clothes. I love fashion. I love design. I love just things that are beautiful and art that is beautiful. And I thought, you know, like I can help women or other people who are going through this to kind of recover through just feeling good about themselves and having some beauty in their lives and having nice clothing or, you know, that sort of thing. So I started my company called Going Flat Fashions. And it's targeted or geared towards women who have decided to either opt out of reconstruction or who have gone flat, whether unilaterally or fully flat, who need some, need a boost, like need some help finding clothing. So I do personal styling, personal shopping, and I have a storefront, an online storefront that is secondhand and vintage clothing. And then I also make accessories because I'm an artist. And so I make jewelry and I make hats.
Are you wearing bracelets right now?
I'm not wearing bracelets. Is it jiggling?
Yeah, I hear. It sounds like you have bangles on.
Oh, well, anyway. Maybe they're virtual bangles.
Maybe. Question for you. I think that's absolutely fabulous. I think that's amazing that you've taken your journey and are thriving now as a thrifter. Thrifter. I think that's really cool. I actually did a podcast interview with Christine Handy. Are you familiar with, have you ever? Yeah. She's here. I'm in Florida and she's actually down in Miami and well, she's everywhere. But anyway, I did an interview with her and she went flat as well, but she had a lot of other like issues that went along with it. She's actually creating has created a swimwear line for flat. Yeah. So anyway, I was going to tell you, she's a good connection for the whole going flat thing. So I think that's really neat. I think that's really great that there's options out there for women who either don't have a choice but to go flat, or they have a choice and they choose to go flat. Because it's really hard to like, I think either way you go, it's a challenge for those of you that are listening that are not survivors, or you're just going through it. It's really a challenge to find clothing to fit you properly. Because when you have the implants in, like I said, it's not like you can mush and manipulate and make them fit into a dress or a shirt or something. And when you think that you would normally be a size small or a medium, you're like, nope, I have to account for these suckers. Like, I have to go up a size. Same thing with going flat, right? It's like most women's clothing is made, unless you wear just like something that hangs, but anything fitted is typically made for somebody with breasts, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, women just dressing as a woman, it doesn't matter if you have had cancer or you know, your body has been changed. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like, you know, even when you're not going through something like that, it's finding clothes that fit you. Clothes are not made for us, you know,
right?
They're not made for our bodies. And so, you know, even though I cater primarily to women who have sort of gone through this experience, I have customers that are not survivors, thrivers. I have customers that are like, you know, from the full spectrum, but because of my experience, I know that, you know, this is a challenge. And just because of being out there on social media and talking to people who have been through this, it's like, well, what do I wear? What do I wear? And really in the end, it's not that different because, you know, you just have to find something that makes you feel good. And, and you know, if you have breasts, it's a core thing. And it may seem sort of like shallow or flippant. Oh, well, it's just fashion. It's just clothing. But, you know, people, my experience over, I've had my company for the last 2 years. I started this project in 2019, and I have people who come to me and it sort of makes me tear up in a way. Well, it does make me tear up because they come to me and they're just like, the comments, the emails that I get from people about how I have just sort of changed their daily outlook, you know. My last personal shopping client, she just said, I hated shopping. She said, I hate shopping for clothes. I hated shopping for clothes before, and now it's just worse. She said, I just sit around in my sweatshirts and like, I don't feel good going out. I don't want to go anywhere. And I sent her, you know, she spent, I don't know, $200 Canadian, and I sent her, you know, like 12 pieces of clothing. And she was just like, I feel like I can go out and live my life again and everything. Aww. You know, she said, and she wanted to be surprised. Like, so I do, when I do the personal shopping, I do the consultations. I have customers from all over the world.
And that was going to be my question. So that's, do tell. How does this work? I think this is amazing.
So I do, the thrift store part of it is online. So you can purchase clothing off the website. So anything, and anything that's there, you know, if people have questions about size and fit and that sort of thing, I'm really good at saying, oh, that's going to fit you, or that's not going to fit you. And I'm not going to lie to you and say that that's going to fit you, because, you know, I just want to ship it out to you. Like, it's not that at all. And so, you know, you can purchase off the website, but the personal shopping, so I have a one-on-one consultation and it's virtual. I haven't done really any in-person partly because of COVID, but also just because people, I think, are really comfortable doing virtual sessions. So I do a virtual consultation. It usually lasts 45 minutes to an hour. And I just get an idea of what it is that, and the consultation is free. I just get an idea of what it is that, you know, you're looking for, what kind of style you're looking for. If you want to change your style, like there's, you know, and really the consultations just sort of turn into like a gab session, really.
You get to know the personalities. It's kind of like us recording the podcast, right?
Exactly. And so then, you know, the person says, oh, well, I want to spend, you know, $100, I want to spend $200, however much they want to spend. And so the shopping only costs the amount of the clothes. So I go and I source, I typically go to, you know, half a dozen places. So it's like a curated collection, basically, is what you get. And everything is in Canadian dollars. So for anybody who's in the US, they save like 25% right off the bat.
Wow.
So for $100, you usually get about 5 to 6 pieces of clothing, depending on what it is. So whether it's like tops or dresses, or so I try and keep the price is really reasonable, because when you're in that situation and you may have to rebuild some of your wardrobe, because you might have things, depending on what your body type is and how your body has changed, you may have to rebuild a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so I really try and keep it so that people don't have to outlay a whole bunch of cash just to do this. So that's kind of how it works. I go shopping and then I put everything in a box or in a bag, you know, a nice little mailer, and I send it to you. And the shipping is a flat rate shipping for, it's $12 for US and Canada. So I just ship everything out. If it's a lot of items, then I sort of have to negotiate some shipping, but I ship everything out and then you get new clothes.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of anything like that. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to go back to a point that you made about how clothes, you know, it's a feeling. It really is a feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a trainer, which then of course became certified as a cancer exercise specialist. That's my give back, is to help women navigate their journey through that. But I'm also a realtor. And so a percentage of my transactions, I give a percentage back to organizations. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference of putting on my gym attire, my leggings, which I'm currently in today because I'm freezing, or putting on my clothes to go meet with clients and show properties. There's like such a huge difference. You know, you're putting on your heels, you're putting on, you know, you feel, it's a feeling, right? You feel good. Not that you can't feel good in gym clothes, but it's a different feeling. It's like, okay, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling healthy. I'm feeling fit, or maybe not.
These heels are really hurting my feet.
Exactly. And trust me, going from being in sneakers and going back into heels, my feet are like, whoa, slow your roll, lady.
Yeah.
But it truly is a feeling. And I think that's amazing that you can gift that back to other survivors, thrivers, and even non. So you'll just go shop for anybody. I think that's amazing that you just, you know, can hop on a call and get their personality. And it's a gift. I mean, it's a gift from the get-go, you know, just to be able to learn someone's personality. And, you know, me putting on like dark clothes, for me, it's so weird. It's like, so whenever it gets cold, and by cold, I mean 50s in Florida, immediately my mind goes to, or even if I'm packing to go up north or something, immediately my mind goes to like grays, blacks, dark colors. Living in Florida, I'm always like bright colors, lily, like all of that, you know? So it's funny. How do you find clothes? So you're in Canada.
Yeah.
So not that, you know, it's like in Florida, right? Here we are in Florida. It's like in wintertime. Yeah. You'll find like some jackets, some sweaters, whatever, which is kind of weird. And you're like, oh, must be buying gifts for people up north or something.
Yeah.
But like in Canada, like how would you find all the different seasons? Like, for example, how are you going to shop for me in Florida?
Well, I sort of have connections with some of these secondhand stores here. And so, you know, the stock that they have out on the floor isn't always the stock that they have. It's not always what they have, right? And so I've kind of made, I've networked with, you know, different organizations. And so I kind of get to pick through things that you typically wouldn't see on the floor. And so because I have clients that are all over the place, and you know, I do have people who are in Florida in winter in Canada, you know, it's like, and Vancouver, to be fair, doesn't get that cold in the winter. You know, I'm from Alberta, which is, you know, a very cold province. And so Vancouver doesn't get that cold, but I am able to source clothing that is off season here, off season, for people who need, you know, even like if you're going on a trip, now people are starting to go on trips, whether that continues, I don't know. But, you know, so if somebody's going to a resort and they need clothing and they're in Ontario and it's minus 20, then I can source clothes that are resort wear for them. So I am able to have kind of made these connections with these different organizations. And I donate any clothing that doesn't make it out to my clients that I source, or that I, because I do stock inventory as well. Works with the women's hospital.
You just cut out for a second there. Sorry about that. You said for those pieces that you do not send out, you donate, and then I lost you.
Oh yeah. So the pieces that don't get to my clients get sent to the women's hospital thrift.
Oh, nice.
So they work with women who are surviving cancer, who are doing, you know, they're doing other work in the community for women who are, you know, in medical distress of some kind. So there's that's kind of part of my give back piece. And then in the new year, I'll be doing some more social in Canada, we call them social enterprises, where, you know, you have a business that gives back to the community. So I have a few projects planned where I think I'm going to be setting up a fund. And so that I just have to kind of work on that a little bit more and decide how that's going to happen. But I kind of want to have a fund for survivors, thrivers to access for certain products and services. So anyway, so that's part of my thing too, is that I do want to give back to the community in another way, in addition to kind of the other things that I do with the business.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, you know, so if somebody wanted to gift a personal shopping experience with you, like how would they do that?
Yeah. So that does happen. I do have gift certificates, so you can purchase a gift certificate, and the gift certificates are on the website and they can be used for anything. Or if somebody, you know, is kind of like not sure, or they can contact me and, you know, I can give them the down low on how that all works. And yeah, it's pretty easy. I'm easy to get a hold of.
Good. And what's your website? What's your web address?
The website is goingflat.com. So www.goingflat.com. And I'm also on Instagram at goingflat. And I'm on Facebook at goingflat. And I'm also on some YouTube as well. And you just have to sort of search for at goingflat.
Okay. What do you talk about on your YouTube?
Well, my YouTube is a work in progress. So
I hear you. There's a lot. You know,
I'm kind of new to YouTube. It's funny. Like Instagram is kind of my main platform, but YouTube, what do I do on YouTube? Sometimes I just rant about things. Like I went to a breast reconstruction awareness day where they only talked about plastic surgery. And so I ranted about that because, you know, one of the other pieces of what I do is flat advocacy. So, you know, just trying to make people aware that it is an option. That a flat closure is an option for reconstruction, and that it should be presented as a valid option for people. Mm-hmm. And sadly, it's not presented in the way that it should be always. And there is, you know, some flat denial. I have met women who, you know, have asked for a flat closure and have been left with skin sparing mastectomies because the doctor is like, I think you'll change your mind. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on that people don't hear about with cancer treatment, like with what happens with that reconstruction piece. And I think that there needs to be a lot more awareness in terms of, you know, transparency in what can happen with implants and, you know, tissue reconstruction. And then also transparency about the option that you don't necessarily have to do that. And everybody should be totally able to make the choice that they want to make for their bodies. But I think
because it's their body and their journey.
Their body, it's their journey. Absolutely. But when you have a doctor that doesn't, you know, like what I went through where it wasn't really presented to me, or, you know, they're just straight out like, you know, you request a surgery and you don't get the surgery that you want. I mean, to me, that's it's abuse, really. It's assault.
Absolutely. You know? So for sure.
So yeah, so there's that piece of it too. And so sometimes I rant on YouTube. And then I also am doing some fashion tips and tricks and, you know, just sort of like things to think about when you're flat. And the caveat with that is that, you know, I can say, well, you know, wear patterns or, you know, volume on top or, you know, different things about tips on how to dress. But at the same time, wear what you want.
And yeah, whatever makes you feel good.
Whatever makes you feel good. And some people are really comfortable just showing it all. Like, you know, just like breasted women, some women don't mind that people see their scars, that people notice that they're flat. And then other women who present flat all the time, they maybe necessarily don't want to wear a prosthetic, but they don't really want to draw attention to the fact that that's what's, you know, that that's what's going on up there.
Yeah. So did you have a single or double mastectomy?
I had a single at first and then I had a prophylactic. So I am fully flat now. So yeah, I symmetrical. But yeah, initially I had a single and then I had a double and then the expanders and then the implants after that.
Yeah. So question for you. Mm-hmm. And I probably should ask if I can ask this before we started recording, but and I talk about this on previous episodes that having a double mastectomy, you don't have any feeling. So we don't have feeling in our chest, right? After you have a reconstruction, do you have that when you're flat? Like, I don't have feeling like.
Yeah. Well, when I had my implants, I didn't have any feeling. And
right.
it was actually really funny because I, you know, they redo the nipples because, you know, they want you to look like you have nipples, but they're not really because.
Right. Tattooed.
But they did. They made nipples out of my skin. Mm-hmm. I was awake for it. It was pretty weird.
Really?
Yeah. So I have like these two, cause you know, they took off the nipples when they did the mastectomy and then they reconstruct the nipples and they do sort of like this thing where they make like a pinwheel and they twist it. But anyway, on the radiated side, my nipple fell off.
Oh geez.
So now I have one nipple, like I'm flat and I have one nipple. It's so
welcome to my boat. I only have one too. Mine got chopped off in emergency surgery.
Oh my God. Is yours your left nipple or your right nipple?
My right one is gone. So I call them Nemo and Dory because again, we have to, you know, make jokes out of this, right? Yes. Those of you that are listening that do not find humor in this journey, this is no disrespect to you. It's just, we all process things differently. And for me, I will find a silver lining in everything. And I'm at a position in my journey that I can make jokes, but yes, I call them Nemo and Dory because my left nipple is like legit looking out to the side because it got pulled so tight from the surgery. And then my other one got chopped off in emergency surgery. So I call him Nemo and Dory, like Dory, you know, like squirrel.
Yeah. I think my right one's gone too. Yeah. It's my right one that's gone too.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing what you're doing. I think that's fantastic. And I hope that everybody that's listening will go check your website out, goingflat.com. I'll put all of that into the show notes. What is you don't have to limit it to one, maybe two. What is one thing that you would love for the listeners to take away from? One piece of advice or something to take away?
Well, I have two things. Dress how you like.
Yeah.
So, you know, flat or not, or, you know, don't follow the rules. Dress how you like. Develop your own style. Feel good in your clothes. That's one piece of advice. And so the second piece of advice is that, you know, when you advocate for yourself, like when you're in treatment, and especially when it comes to the reconstruction piece, like make sure that you have all the information and that you go forward any piece of it, really, just make sure that you have as much information. And if you need to take somebody with you to process it, do that too, because, you know, these are decisions that will impact the rest of your life.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more on that. I'm a huge advocate for advocating for yourself. Number one, do your own research and just, you know, be in charge of your journey, be in charge of your diagnosis. Yeah. You know, you are the one in control. This is your diagnosis, and how you handle it should be up to you. You should be able to have that medical team that you can have that discussion with, not just your doctor say, number one, your doctor, not even want to explore the lump that you went to her for, but then obviously, you know, through a diagnosis, you want to be able to have that conversation, because it's a lot to process.
Yeah.
You know, I stayed in denial up until the night before my double mastectomy. So here I am 4 years later.
Yeah. And you can't always do it on your own, you know, like just have it, you know, have a sounding board. And I think that's what social media is really good for. You know, there are people out there that, you know, on the internets, I mean, the internet is not always the greatest place, but especially the breast cancer community. And in my world, kind of the flat community, there are so many supportive people and so many resources out there. So, you know, use that, because when I was diagnosed, it wasn't like that. I mean, 2007, it doesn't seem like a long time ago, but for the internet, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, right.
Facebook was just starting. Like, you know, I was on a Yahoo forum talking about this stuff, you know, so it makes me feel old.
No, dating us would be, what was that first platform that came out?
MySpace?
Yeah. I never got on that. I was like, that's creepy. And then now you look back and think, see everything that's, you know, come forward. It's kind of funny. But I think what you're doing is amazing, Tracy. And thanks. I hope that everyone goes to check out your website and be able to even gift a gift card to your services to any survivor friend or newly diagnosed. That would be fantastic. Go support and give all the love, because there are resources out there that we don't know about. And that's what I love this platform for, is to be able to share other survivor stories and talk about what they're doing to give back to other survivors. It's the club that I call it, the Breasties. We're the Breasties. The club that I never wanted to be a part of, but I couldn't imagine not being with them, because I've met so many amazing women. It's fantastic. And the fact that a cancer diagnosis has really wanting us to give back, like it changes, we know cancer changes us, period, but like just everything in general, you know, we wanted to be able to give back, and because we know what it was like for us, right? Going through our journeys, and you just want to help in that realm. So thank you so much for what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Shannon. Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you. And thank you for your time today. I loved hearing your story. I loved hearing what you're doing. I'm going to go check out and see what kind of fun fashions I can explore for Florida.
Yeah, I may have some summer things. And I have new inventory all the time. So
well, good.
What's there right now might not be there next week, but there will be new things.
That's right. And that's what makes it great. And I'm all about supporting small businesses. I would rather support small businesses all day, every day than go to, and also be online. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this week's episode has somehow changed your life with a smile. If you're looking for guidance through your breast cancer journey, including your recovery, but don't know where to start, head over to shannonbrose.com and let's chat. If you'd like to be a guest on this podcast or know someone who would be a great guest or have topic ideas, email me at smile@shannonbrose.com. Until next week, live well, laugh often, and love much.